Beautiful. Praise the Lord.
And hymn number 20. We will sing all three. Praise the Lord. Of hymn 20. Great sword drill tonight.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear falling on mine ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and this joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
And the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within mine heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me,
and he tells me
has ever known. On the third, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of one, his voice to me it's called. And he talks with me,
and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Glory to God. Beloved, please be seated tonight. I'm so thankful for our one-on-one time with the Lord. It's great being here in church with you all. You know I love being with you all and worshiping the Lord together. But there's nothing like your one-on-one time with Jesus. Amen? Getting your nose buried in that book and having the Holy Spirit just fill up your spiritual batteries. There's nothing like it. Glory to God. Sister, you're wondering what that bumper sticker is I handed you. I know you can't put that on the limo, but hopefully on your own car. Glory to God, we got seven of them out already. And what we're going to do as we grow, as new people come in, we're going to, I've got five more of the bumper stickers, but when we run out, we'll get some more made up. Amen? I want every member of this church to have a bumper sticker with our website address on it. Great advertisement. Stop at a red light, boom, it's right there. Oh, praise the Lord. You have to get a car and you'll get one. Let's grab our Bibles tonight, beloved. And we'll get right to our message. Back on the Millennial Kingdom tonight, as we continue our studies concerning the glorious coming kingdom of our Savior. Oh, it's just so exciting to know that we're going to be a part of that. We'll sing again after the message, folks. But let's... grab our Bibles and just open up anywhere. It's all good. Praise the Lord. I will pass around this chart again that I made up last week, because we're going to Lord willing, tonight we'll finish up on the government. We've been looking at the government of the Millennial Kingdom. Tonight is part four. The Millennial Kingdom part four. We'll be looking at the Gentile and Jewish branches of the government during the millennium. Last week we saw the king of the millennium, the supreme ruler. It's a theocracy because it's God, the Son, on the throne of this universe, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. He is, as you can see on my chart, he is the King, Messiah, Savior of the kingdom. Under him, you'll see the extensions. You've got a Gentile branch and you've got a Jewish branch government. Now, the world will be ruled in righteousness. This is delegated authority. You are involved. Now, look here. Under the Gentile branch, we're going to see tonight,
The church, that's you and I, and the tribulation period saints who got martyred. We're going to show you that. And under them, there's going to be kings over nations. And under the kings, there's going to be, of course, they'll rule over the Gentile nations. Now, on this other side here, we have the Jewish branch of government. This is very interesting. It's fivefold. There's going to be the King Messiah. Then there's going to be David is going to be resurrected. David, the king, he's not going to be king. He's going to be prince under the King of Kings. Amen? But the real David is going to be over there in Jerusalem. Glory to God, the Prince of Israel. Under David, we'll have 12 apostles. The 12 apostles were Jewish. And I got a hint. I got a message for you. Matthias is not included there. That was man's choice. Paul is the 12th apostle. Glory to God. Mark it down. Princes. Underneath the apostles, there will be princes. Well, look at that. There's also under the princes going to be judges and counselors. Judges and counselors. The Bible is very specific about all this. They will all rule over Israel. And then finally, you'll see Israel will rule over the Gentiles. All right. You can pass this around as we get going tonight. I'm going to try to finish up this portion of our study on the millennial kingdom, which is the government of the millennial kingdom. We've seen in week 3 that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah King, will rule supremely over the 1,000-year kingdom, seated upon David's throne, possessing the sure mercies of David for all who truly repent and receive him. Under this glorious king, there will be two branches of government over the entire earth. First, tonight, let's look at the Gentile branch of government during the millennium. The Gentile branch will consist of two components, the church with the tribulation saints, that's one component, the church of the church age with the tribulation period saints who were martyred, that's one component of the Gentile branch, and kings is the second component. First of all, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at the first component of the Gentile branch of government will be the church age saints and the tribulation period saints. Revelation chapter, anybody need a Bible? We have pew Bibles. Revelation chapter 20. I know I go too quick for some of you. Praise the Lord. Look with me here in verse number 1. The Bible says in chapter 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. And we talked about how you can have a bottomless pit in the center of the earth. There's only one way, and that's by having zero gravity and it being in the center of the earth, which is spinning. There's no bottom. And a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. We'll talk about that when we get to it. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Somebody sitting on these thrones. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. I wonder when that happened. And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Glory to God, Father in heaven. Thank you tonight for your word. And thank you for the governmental system that you will inaugurate during the millennial kingdom. Lord, it's amazing as we study passages from the Word of God and see exactly what you're planning to do. And Lord, for all those who have ears to hear and eyes to see the things of the Spirit of God, these things are made clear and plain. I thank you, Lord, that you told Daniel to seal up the book, chapter 12, until the time of the end. And I thank you, Lord, that we're living in the time of the end, and that the things of the book are being revealed to those who seek it.
Lord, I just ask you to bless your people tonight as we look at the government of the millennial kingdom in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, now, here in verse number 4, John is describing the first component of the Gentile branch of government during the millennium. It's the saints who will co-reign with the king. She's called the queen. Amen. First of all, notice the first component is the church, the bride of Messiah, in verse number 4. Look at it. And I saw thrones. These folks are seated on thrones. Amen. And they sat upon them. Whoever they are, we're going to identify them. They sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. Now, three particular details are given here concerning the bride of Christ during the millennium. First, that these co-reigners are described as having thrones. Look at that in verse 4. I saw thrones. I love it. And it's multiple thrones, plural. Amen? Because there's many. Say, hey, we're not alone tonight, beloved. All over this world, there are true believers, born again, redeemed by the blood, regenerated, and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is who he's speaking of. We'll have thrones. The first thing he says is that we'll have thrones. Now, a throne in the Bible refers to a position of authority. Amen? That is, that someone is ruling over someone else. That's what it means when you see a throne. Somebody has power over someone else. Listen to me, beloved. You are going to have power during the millennium over somebody. Okay, I'm going to show that to you. If you serve him faithfully now, you will have delegated authority from the king. And you will, glory to God, brother, come on in. You will have authority over someone. Now, the second thing we notice concerning the bride, the queen, the church, is that these saints are seen sitting upon these thrones. Look at verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. Notice that. Someone is seated upon these thrones. Hey, we're no longer laboring in the harvest field to win souls. You see that? Our work is completed. We're resting with the king. We're seated upon thrones. We have authority. Now, observe here that the church age saints will rule and reign with the King Messiah Savior, unlike those in the kingdom who will be ruled over. Did you hear what I said? I said, you as a church age saint, under the dispensation of grace who are saved, you will reign and rule, you will co-reign with the Messiah over somebody. Look with me in Revelation chapter 1. In the first chapter of Revelation, look with me at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, that's speaking of church age saints. He loves us and he's washed us from our sins in his own blood, right? Verse 6, watch what he says about us. And hath, that's past tense, it's a done deal, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That dominion there is speaking of a millennial reign. And he says, we are made, what's that first word? Verse 6? What's that first word? We are made what? Somebody?
Kings.
Kings. Come on, church. We are made kings. Kings rule over others. You are not a slave. You are a king. Under the King of Kings. Amen? That's why you're going to have a throne during the millennium. I'm so glad that the Bible says this. I'm not making it up. Amen? Oh, glory to God for this delegated authority. Thirdly, concerning the church age saints who will co-reign with him, notice the mention of the Bema seat. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 4, back in Revelation 20. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Church age saints, right? And what's that next word? Judgment was given unto them. Somebody's being judged. And I'll give you a hint, it's not for sin. Your sins are gone at this point.
Are we judging angels at that point?
Nope. This is not talking about us judging. This is talking about us being judged.
This is talking about the Bema seat of Christ, where you will be judged upon, not for sin. These preachers that really tick me off, they get up and they try to threaten the saints and try to scare the saints. Oh, every sin you ever committed is going to be on a big screen for the universe to see. Oh, shut up and sit down. That's a bunch of hogwash and you know it. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Alex got a kick out of that one. The judgment seat of Christ is for service, not for sin. The judgment seat of Christ is for rewards, not for punishment. You're not heading for punishment. Your sins were punished 2,000 years ago. You're heading for rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And it happens here in verse number 4. Amen? Now, notice who will rule and reign with the church age saints. We're not alone, folks. Who will rule and reign with us as church age saints? We were raptured out prior to the start of the tribulation period, right? But look at this. Go with me to chapter 6, because somebody else is going to rule and reign with us. Chapter 6 of Revelation. Oh, this is good stuff. I'm going to try to get through it tonight. I don't know if I will. There's so much material to cover concerning this information. Look at this. God's Holy Spirit tells us in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw, this is John, the Revelator, I saw under the altar, he's in heaven, folks. He's seeing something. I saw under the altar the souls, not the bodies, their bodies are on earth. But I saw the souls of them that were what? Slain, martyred, for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. I wonder when that happened. And they cried with a loud voice, he's going to tell you, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. Why? Why do they need white robes? What don't they have yet? Ellie? That's right. They don't have a glorified body yet. They only have a soul, so they need a covering. And that's a white robe of righteousness given to them from the Lord.
Why do we need to be covered?
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, lest we should appear naked. You know, that's without any clothing, heavenly clothing. Verse number 11, that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. What? Did you hear what the Holy Spirit just said to John? It said there's more martyrs coming, beloved. And it's happening during the tribulation period. And God's going to allow it. That's why I say get saved now. Don't wait till the tribulation period because you'll be off with the head. The guillotine, you know. And Kyle said it best. I won't even use a guillotine. These terrorists use a sword. They're evil. Verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth as a fig cast of her sheath. Now, tell me something. When's that going to happen? During the what? Tribulation period, the great tribulation. So these are tribulation period saints who were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ, and they refused to take the mark of the beast. Back to Revelation 20. Look at it. You're going to see here that they are ruling and reigning with us. It is clear. In verse number 4, I saw, look at it, Revelation 20, verse 4. The first part of the verse describes church age saints. Thrones, they sat on them, judgment given unto them, the bema seat. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. See that? That occurs during the tribulation period. So these folks are co-reigning with us over the world with the Messiah. You see that? Clearly here, we see that both church age saints and tribulation period martyred saints will co-rule and co-reign with the King. Note, the Old Testament saints are not mentioned here because they have a different destiny for the millennium kingdom than we do. And we're going to see that tonight. Glory to God. Now, look at verse 5. See how verse 4 marks the conclusion of the first resurrection, which is the resurrection of all the righteous, and is separated from the second resurrection by 1,000 years? Look at it. Verse 5. Look at verse 4, the end of verse 4. He says, and they lived. Who lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years? Who? Church age saints and tribulation period saints. Mark it down. They're gonna have glorified bodies, and they're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Glory, that's good news. But, verse 5, the rest of the dead, who's that? That's people who didn't get saved during the tribulation period, took the mark of the beast, and that's people who didn't get saved during the church age. Right? Look at it. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. They have no part in the millennium because they refuse to receive Jesus Christ. This is the first resurrection. Now let's review the sequence of the first resurrection. Okay? It's fourfold. First, Jesus Christ is the first person to rise from the dead. He is the first part of the resurrection. 3 days after his crucifixion, he got up. Amen? He's the first begotten of the dead. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You'll see this clearly. Jesus Christ is the initial one to rise from the dead. There is an order for the first resurrection and the second. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look with me at verse 23. Somebody read that.
Let every man in his own order.
Time out. Time out. You see what Kyle just read? The whole chapter deals with what? Begins with an R. It deals with resurrection. This is the resurrection chapter of the Bible right here. Mentioned more times than any other chapter. Now listen. Kyle just read the first part of verse 23. Says, but every man in his own order. There is an order, a sequential order to the resurrection. Read, Kyle.
Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming.
Bingo. Jesus Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection from the dead. He had to be the first one to rise and enter into glory. He did it for us. Hebrews chapter 6, down around verse 12, says he is the forerunner who has entered into the holy place for us, having attained eternal redemption for us. Now, clearly here, Jesus Christ is the first part of the sequence. Secondly, concerning the first resurrection, we'll have the age of grace saints. They will be resurrected prior to Daniel's 70th week. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. You know where I'm going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, don't miss this. Clearly, he tells us that the grace age saints will be resurrected secondly. But actually, they're third. I want to show you why. Look at chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. I'm not talking about the living. When I say the church age saints, I'm talking about the ones who have lived and died as believers, okay? I'm not talking about the living ones. Watch. The age of grace saints will be resurrected secondly, prior to Daniel's 70th week. Look with me at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who's that, somebody? Who are the dead in Christ? Those who've what?
That accepted Christ.
Right, they accepted Jesus Christ, and what happened to them?
Resurrection.
Before Jesus came, what happened to them? They died. They died. There's no death to a Christian, so they actually fell on sleep, the Bible says. Because when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord immediately. There's no purgatory and there's no intermediate state. Okay, so they are the second phase of the first resurrection. The third phase of the first resurrection, look at it, is found in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now notice here that we're clearly told in verse 15 that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. We shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we won't be raised, we won't be resurrected before them. That's prevent. They will prevent us. And then we will rise. Okay? It's almost a simultaneous deal in the blink of an eye. But the ones that are in the grave, 6 feet under, they're coming up first. Then we which are alive join them in the air. Okay? That's the third phase. The fourth phase
of the first resurrection will be the Old Testament saints being resurrected when? We learned this a few weeks back. It happens during the 75-day interval period just prior to the commencement of the thousand-year kingdom. Why do they get resurrected prior to the commencement of the thousand years? What are the Old Testament saints going to do? They're going to be part of the kingdom, aren't they? The Jews of the Old Testament who believed, they're Old Testament saints, they're called. Go with me, I'll show you. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. This is great stuff. The Old Testament saints will also be with us in the millennium. They will rule and reign, but they will not co-rule and reign with Messiah. They will be ruled over by Messiah. I want to show you that. In Isaiah chapter 26, whoever gets there first, read us verse number 19. 26:19.
My dead men shall live together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
Okay, now notice here in Isaiah 26, the context is the prophet is speaking to who? Look at verse 1. Judah, the Jews. He's speaking to the Jews, those who believed in the Old Testament, their Old Testament saints. And he says in verse 19, thy dead men, believers, shall live. You're not going to stay dead. You're not going to stay down. And together with my dead, Isaiah includes himself in the Old Testament saints' resurrection. See that? Verse 19, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake. That's a biblical term for resurrection, by the way. Awake and sing. Ye that dwell in dust, they've been buried. And for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Somebody's coming up out of the earth, alive. That's the Old Testament saints, okay? And on your own, you can read verse 20 and 21. They further describe the Old Testament saints' resurrection. That's the fourth stage of the first resurrection. Let me make clear. The Old Testament saints, beloved, are a part of the first resurrection. Not the second. The second resurrection we're going to see is for unbelievers only. Okay? Now, clearly, this shows us. Go to Daniel. If you're still in the Old Testament, flip over to Daniel chapter 12. Look at this. Clearly, Daniel speaks of a coming resurrection for the Old Testament believers. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. That's Israel, not the Gentiles. And there shall be a time of trouble. What's that? When's that happening? Tribulation. Such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people, Israel, shall be delivered. Delivered from who? Who are they getting delivered from? Antichrist. He's trying to eliminate every Jew during the tribulation. Everyone that shall be found written in the book, they're believers. Now look what he says. Verse 2. And many of them, Jews, that sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake. Some to everlasting life. Glory to God. We are seeing here a resurrection of Old Testament believers. And it takes place prior to the commencement of the millennium. Okay. Now, we also have the tribulation period martyred saints. Getting back to Revelation chapter number 20. The first resurrection will include the tribulation period martyred saints. They will be resurrected during the 75-day interval, which occurs prior to the start of the thousand-year millennium. Look at verse 4, Revelation 20, and somebody read verse 4.
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image,
mm-hmm.
neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, mm-hmm. and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Okay, look what she read. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
This is how we know that the tribulation period saints who are martyred for not taking the mark and for worshiping Jesus Christ will be resurrected prior to the commencement of the millennium, because they're going to reign with Christ in the millennium. You see that? Now, that'll happen during the 75-day interval. We've already shown that death during the thousand-year kingdom will be for unbelievers only. No believer will die during the 1,000 years. We saw that last week. Therefore, there will be no necessity for resurrection for kingdom age saints. Hear what I said? No kingdom age saint will need resurrection. We are already going to have our glorified bodies, right? Before the millennium starts. We are going to have our glorified bodies before the tribulation period even starts. Why? Because the Bible says we which are alive, that's our body. It's going up. And as it goes up, it's going to be transformed into a glorified body that will never die. Okay? No necessity for resurrection during the millennium. So the church age saints and the tribulation period saints will reign over the Gentile nations as the king's representatives with glorified bodies. You cannot be harmed. Now, that's the first group that will be in the millennium during the tribulation, during the millennial kingdom, and that form of government will reign over the Gentiles. The second component of the Gentile branch of government will be the kings. You see my chart there? Who's underneath the tribulation period saints and the church age saints? They are called kings, and they are over the Gentile nations, not over Israel. We're going to see that in a minute. Who are they? Go with me to Psalm 72. Let me show you who these people are. In Psalm 72, remember we said that the Valley of Jehoshaphat judgment will take place prior. It'll take place when? During the 75-day interval. Prior to the millennium, right? And it will determine what? That judgment will determine what? Who will be where? In the millennium. And it will depend upon, it's not a judgment for sin, it's a judgment for treatment of Jews during the tribulation period, remember? So go with me to Psalm 72. These people with human bodies will go into the millennium because they treated Israel right. Psalm 72. Don't miss this. Look at me at verse number 6. He shall come down. That's talking about the Messiah. This whole Psalm 72, the whole Psalm, 20 verses, is speaking of the King Messiah. Okay? He shall come down. That's not going to occur till after the tribulation period. We know that. Like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. He's bringing blessings with him. In his days shall the righteous flourish. That's the millennium. An abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the end, that's the Jordan, unto the ends of the earth. He says, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to rule over the entire world. When's that going to happen? During the millennium. That's right. Verse number 9. They that dwell in the wilderness, that's the Gentile nations, folks, shall what?
Bow
before him. When's the last time you saw one of these punk Gentile dictators like Ahmadinejad or Putin or one of these Assad bow before the King of Kings? Haven't seen it, have you? Well, guess what? During the millennium, they're going to bow to our king. Look what he says, verse 9. They that dwell in the wilderness, Gentile nations, shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings. Look at verse number 10. Who is mentioned in verse 10? Some kings. Remember, the context is the millennium. So there's going to be Gentile kings with human bodies reigning over certain nations. Very interesting. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles, that's the Gentile nations, shall bring presents. Where? To Jerusalem. To the king. They're begging him for mercy. The kings of Sheba, there's some more kings, and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Church, I've got good news tonight. We're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. And these people are going to bow before our Savior during that 1,000 years. If they don't, no rain. Now listen here. These kings who come to Jerusalem and bow before the king will have natural physical bodies. And though they are allowed to rule over their own nations, yet they themselves will be under the authority of the church age saints and tribulation period saints who possess spiritual bodies. We're going to have spiritual glorified bodies. We'll rule over them. So, in the Gentile branch of government, follow me, the chain of command is clear. It will be from the King Messiah to the church age saints and tribulation period saints to the Gentile kings of the Gentile nations. Okay? That's the Gentile branch of government during the millennium. Secondly, tonight, let's look at the Jewish branch of government during the millennium. It's fivefold. As you see on my chart, the Jewish branch of government for the millennium is fivefold. First, we'll have, of course, we saw last week, the King, Messiah, Son of God, ruling and reigning from the throne of David in Jerusalem, right? Under Messiah, there will be David, the prince. I'm going to show you this. Now, Messiah, of course, is the King of Kings. He's king over Israel. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. When he comes again, his own will receive him, and he will be king over them. Now, David will rule under the Messiah king over the Jews in Israel as their prince. Okay? David will have his glorified body at this time, and he will rule over Israel. Now, look here. A literal biblical hermeneutics is demanded by us premillennial dispensationalists for this to be true. You have to take the Bible literally, folks, unless the Holy Spirit shows you that he's speaking parabolically or allegorically. Okay? God means what he says, and he says what he means. Go with me to Jeremiah 30. I want to show you that David is coming back to rule over Israel. In Jeremiah chapter number 30, the Bible makes this so clear for those who have ears to hear. In Jeremiah chapter 30, I'm so glad we're literalists here at KJV Bible Baptist Church. In Jeremiah chapter 30, somebody who gets there first, read verse 9. Oh boy, did you hear what Mike just read? The context is the millennial kingdom. And he says, during the millennial kingdom, they, who's the they? It's Israel. It's redeemed Israel. They're regenerated at this time. They shall serve the Lord their God. That's Messiah. He's with them in Israel. Look at the next word. And they're going to serve somebody else with the Messiah. David, their king. See, if he was speaking spiritually of spiritual David, which is Jesus Christ, he wouldn't have said and. You see the separation there? First, they're serving the Lord their God. To him supremely they worship. They don't worship David, but they take orders from him. You see that in verse 9? And David, their king, whom I will what?
Raise
up. David's coming up out of the grave, folks. He's going to get a glorified body. Yes, sir, Lucas.
Now, why King David and not somebody else like Abraham? Wasn't Abraham the founding father of Judaism?
Yes, he was.
Just out of curiosity.
Yep, good. Great question, too. The reason it's David is because in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we have the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant stated clearly that Messiah, who would be a son of David through many generations, would come and sit upon the throne of David. So David, who was the king at the time, received the sure mercies of David. He received a covenant, an everlasting covenant for Israel, where they would receive mercy from their Messiah forever once they receive him. So David, because he was the man of Israel that received that covenant, he's the one who the Lord is going to have sit on the throne. And because he never lost a battle, he lost a big one at home, but he never lost a battle on the field. Yeah, he never lost a battle on the field. David never lost a battle at war. You know why? Somebody tell me. Why did David never lose a battle at war? Why?
God was with him.
God was with him and he had what? Angelic assistance. God told David, don't go out against the Philistines until You see the sound of a bristling in the top of the mulberry trees. Then go forth, for the Lord's host is gone forth before thee to destroy thine enemies. David had angelic assistance in every battle, and that's why he never lost. He will be raised up. It says here, Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Let's see it again. God says something once, we better pay attention. God says something twice, he really means it. God says something numerous times, you better believe it. Ezekiel 34, look at verse 23. Somebody read that, verse 23.
And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd.
Bingo, verse 24.
And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Now here the picture, the focus gets clearer, folks. Look what he says. First he mentions David being raised up to be prince over Israel. Not king. The king is Messiah. Look at verse 24. And I, the Lord, Messiah, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince, not a king, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. And will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. For 1,000 years, it's going to be perfect peace. Think about it. Glory to God. It's going to be wonderful. Now, go with me to Hosea. The little minor prophet, Hosea. Chapter number 3. Look at this. In chapter number 3, we read in verse 5. Afterward, after the tribulation period, after the church age, because it says in verse 5, they'll be without a priest for a long time. They have been for 2,000 years. No priest, no temple. But that's going to change quickly here. Afterward shall the children of Israel return. See that? And seek the Lord their God. They're going to get saved before the millennium begins. And David their king, David who was their king when he lived in the natural body, will become their prince. Look at it. And shall fear the Lord. Israel. This is talking about the Jews. They're going to fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. That's the millennium. Okay. Secondly, first we have the Messiah. Secondly, we have David. Thirdly, we have the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles will rule over who? The 12 tribes of Israel. Not once, but twice, Jesus Christ himself promised the 12 apostles that during the kingdom age, I'm going to show you that, they would rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Go with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 19. Oh, this is such good stuff. I might need you to give me a couple extra minutes tonight, folks. I want to get through this. It's so powerful to see this clearly. The Jewish branch of government will have Messiah, David, then the 12 apostles. In chapter 19 of Matthew's gospel, look with me at verse number 28. Verse 28, we read, and Jesus said unto them, verily, what's that word mean? Truly, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, notice, they're regenerated, when the Son of Man, it's also speaking about the regeneration of the earth and the heavens, folks, which will occur during the millennium. It's going to be perfect conditions, like in the days of before the flood. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, that's the millennium, ye also shall sit upon, how many?
12
thrones, judging who?
The 12 tribes.
12 tribes of Israel. He's talking to the 12 apostles, and he says, you guys are going to have 12 thrones, you're going to sit on them, and you're going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. During the millennium. Go to Luke. See it once more. In Luke, this is crystal clear that the 12 apostles will have a special place during the millennium. They're no longer fishermen, amen? And tax collectors and all that stuff. In Luke chapter 22, look at this. Powerful prophecy of the Messiah concerning Israel, concerning the 12. Luke 22, look at me at verse 28. Jesus says, ye, 12 apostles,
are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a what?
Kingdom.
Kingdom. As my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Notice that. Somebody's getting to feast with Messiah during the 1,000 years. That's going to happen where? In Israel, in Jerusalem. Look at it. Verse 30. That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Here it is again. We see clearly that the 12 apostles are going to have a very special place of rule during the millennium. That's part of the Jewish branch of government, folks. Not the Gentiles. They're ruling where? The 12 apostles? Israel. He said it twice. In Israel. Okay, King Messiah rules over all the world. David rules over all Israel. The 12 apostles rule over each particular tribe. Two privileges are promised to the 12 here. First, that they will be continually with Jesus. Notice that in verse 30, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Look, what a promise. Man, what a promise. Yes, Val.
Pastor Judas, who was given Jesus a veil.
Yep.
He's one of the 12 apostles. He's also going to reign.
Nope, he was a false apostle.
Right. That's why there were 12. So, and there are 12 tribes. So
yep.
Judas is not going to.
Nope.
So how does that
happen? I'm so glad you asked. Because it's not Matthias of Acts chapter 1 whom the disciples chose. It's Paul of Acts chapter 8 whom the Lord chose in chapter 9.
All right.
Paul is the 12th apostle, not Judas and not Matthias. That's a great question. Now, two promises. One, they will be with Jesus there in Jerusalem during the 1,000 years. Two, they will be eating at his table. You see that? Imagine how good that food's going to taste. Throughout the 1,000 years. Thirdly, that they will each have their own throne. Look at that. Their own throne in verse 30, from which they will rule their own tribe. Thirdly, tonight, not only do we have Messiah, not only do we have David, not only do we have the 12 apostles, but thirdly, the princes. We're going to have the princes. Who are the princes? These are the civil rulers within the Jewish government. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 32. Princes are civil governmental rulers, not ecclesiastical, not to be confused with the priesthood, okay? That's why we have governors, mayors, you know, senators, all this. Israel will have that too. They're called princes. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 32. Fascinating book you hold in your hand. There's no book like it, beloved, on planet Earth. Glory to God. In the Isaiah chapter 32, somebody read us verse 1.
All the king shall reign in righteousness, mm-hmm. and princes shall rule in judgment.
Now, notice here, millennial context. A king shall rule in righteousness. Rule what? The world. But look at, he's not done. Verse 1. And princes shall rule in judgment. These folks are making laws. They're not making laws. They're issuing the king's laws. We're going to look at that. But they are keeping the laws. They're not corrupt judges. Judges who are passing laws like men can marry men, and it's okay to murder unborn babies in America. None of that shenanigans during the millennium. These are righteous princes, righteous judges, okay? So, look with me here in Ezekiel 45. These princes are spoken of a number of times, and the context is the millennium. Ezekiel 45, the passage is dealing with what time period? Ezekiel 45. In fact, Ezekiel 40 through 48, all of it, 9 chapters, deals with the millennial kingdom. Don't miss this. Ezekiel 45, look at verse number 8. In the land, it's the land of Israel, shall be his possession in Israel. And my what? My princes, these are civil rulers, shall no more oppress my people, and the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. In other words, they're going to rule in righteousness, these princes. Okay? They're civil rulers. Glory to God. Haggai chapter 2, Haggai, just prior to Malachi and Zechariah, the little book of Haggai, just before Zechariah 1. Haggai, go to the chapter 2 and look with me in chapter 2 at verse 20. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. He's a civil ruler, right? He's a prince. That's the Bible term for a civil ruler. Saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I wonder when that's going to happen. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I wonder when that's going to happen. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, millennial day, saith the Lord of hosts, that's a military term, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord. Zerubbabel, who was a civil ruler over Judah, will be raised up, and he will have a position as a prince during the millennium. Princes is our third portion of the Jewish government. Fourthly, we have the judges and counselors. Judges and counselors, these are the judicial rulers centered in Jerusalem, dispensing justice in righteousness. Go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. We have the judges and the counselors. You see, God is a God of order, not chaos, like these charismatic churches, and they're all speaking in tongues and all these shenanigans going on, and nobody understands what anybody's saying. That's not of God. God is a God of order. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse 26. And he says in 25, I will turn my hand upon thee, Israel. That's during the tribulation period. And they will pass under the rod. And will purely purge away thy dross, that's the sin, and take away all thy tin, that's the residue, that's the refuse. The refuse is going to be taken away from Israel. They're going to get saved. They're going to get washed in the blood. And I will restore thy what?
Judges.
This is a millennial context, people. I will restore thy judges as at the first. See, when David ruled and reigned, it was a righteous rule. He said, that's how it's going to be, only better. I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy what?
Counselors.
Counselors. As at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgments and her converse with righteousness. Glory to God. Judges and counselors are coming back, and they will be righteous ones. Fifthly, and finally tonight, glory to God. Israel will rule over all the Gentiles. Let me show you that. This promise was made multiple times to Israel throughout the Old Testament. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Don't miss this. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, God tells his elect nation that they will rule the entire world. They didn't, not yet, because they went into a state of unbelief and idolatry and disobedience. But when they come back to God, end of the tribulation period, he will fulfill this promise we're about to read. Watch it. Deuteronomy 15. Somebody read us verse 6.
For the Lord thy God blessed thee as he promised thee,
mm-hmm.
and thou shalt lend unto many nations. But thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee.
Did you hear what Miriam just read in verse number 6? Moses is talking to the children of Israel. They're about, Deuteronomy is the book of repetition. They're about to enter the what? Promised land. Anybody listening? And he tells them when they enter the promised land, if they're obedient unto the Lord, he's going to make them rule. Look at it says, verse 6. Thou shalt not borrow, but thou shalt reign over what? Many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Folks, listen to me. The Gentile nations during the millennial kingdom will not have authority over Israel. Israel is a special breed. They are the elect nation of God, and they will rule the world during the millennium. It's their kingdom. It's the messianic kingdom. We are not being ruled over, folks, during the millennium, church. We are co-ruling and reigning with our king, bridegroom. Jesus, we are his queen. We are his bride. He's not going to rule over us with a rod of iron. No good husband would do that. We are going to rule with him over Israel. Now, Israel will rule over the Gentile nations. You see that? Go to chapter 28, Deuteronomy 28. This is clear. They will be in a state of belief and a state of regeneration at this time. God is justified in making them the head of the nations, and he will. Oh, it's so important that you understand this. Look at chapter 28, Deuteronomy, verse 1. 28:1. We read, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God," they will. Not yet, but they will. "To observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee, Israel, on high, above all nations of the earth." Did you see that? He didn't say that to America. Amen? Australia? Africa? He said it to Israel. And he's going to fulfill it. Go down to verse 13. "And the Lord shall make thee the what? Head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath, Israel. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." Go with me to Isaiah. We're almost done. Isaiah. And go with me to chapter 14. Here is a clear prophecy of Israel during the millennium, after the Antichrist is put down. Look at me in chapter 14 of Isaiah. Verse 1. "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob." See that? That day is coming. The end of the tribulation period. He will have mercy on Jacob. What do we say Jacob is in the Bible? When we see the name Jacob, it's speaking of who?
Israel.
Physical Israel. Not spiritual Israel. Physical Israel. "The Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers," that's Gentiles, "shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them," the Jews, "and bring them to their place," special place. "And the house of Israel shall possess them," the Gentiles, "in the land of the Lord for" what? "Servants and handmaids." You see that? All these punks that are persecuting Israel, and Ahmadinejad wants to destroy Israel, they're going to be slaves to the Jews during the millennium. You see that? I didn't make that up. Yeah, amen, she said. Look at verse 2. "And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they will take them captives." That's slaves. "Whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors." Who's he talking about? Verse 1. Jacob. Israel. It's clear. Isaiah chapter 49. Quickly. Look in chapter 49 here. In case you doubt. Look at chapter 49 of Isaiah and verse 22. Verse 22, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set my standard to the people. And they," the Gentiles, "shall bring thy sons," Jews, "in their arms, and thy daughters," Israel, "shall be carried upon their shoulders." Somebody's getting carried back to Israel. "And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers." They're going to count Israelis as precious. "They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet," Israel. "And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me." That wait for me. Oh, glory. I love this passage. He's saying, I am going to make Israel in charge of the Gentiles. They are going to rule over them who were their enemies. Look with me in chapter 61. We'll finish up here. Isaiah 61 and we'll be done. Israel will be the head of the Gentile nations during the 1,000 years. In chapter 61, look with me at verse number 5. Verse 5 says, and strangers, that's Gentiles, shall stand and feed your flocks, speaking of Israel, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. They're going to do the hard labor for the Jews. See that? But ye, Israel, redeemed Israel, shall be named the priests of the Lord. Don't miss this. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Notice in verse 6 what he said about Israel. Ye shall be named, the capital P, priests of the Lord. You know what that means? That means the Gentiles are going to have to come to a Jew if they want access to God. I love this. Will you please pray for the Messiah for me? Oh, my daughter's sick, or I need food, I need rain, my crops are dying. Will you please pray to the king for me? Abraham, Moses, David. I love it. They're going to come and they'll be called the priests of the Lord. A priest is a go-between, right? This is during the millennium, remember. Israel will be set up as the ruler over the Gentile nations. Now, clearly, we are taught here that Israel will subdue all nations of planet Earth for the entire 1,000 years. In closing tonight, beloved, listen to me. The chain of command for the government during the 1,000-year kingdom will be as follows. Messiah the king will rule the entire world. Under Messiah the king will be two branches of government, the Gentile branch and the Jewish branch. Under the Gentile branch will be the church age saints with the tribulation period saints. Then there will be kings over the Gentile nations under them. Under the Jewish branch will be Messiah the king, David the prince, the 12 apostles, the princes, the judges, the counselors, Israel over the Gentile nations. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 19 and we'll finish up here. Revelation chapter 19. In closing tonight, I want to show you something fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Pastor, why did you take 2 weeks to show us all these various branches of the millennial government? Why? Look with me, I want to show you why. Revelation chapter 19. It's important that you understand what you're going to be doing during the millennium. In Revelation chapter 19, you know the situation here. Messiah comes down with us on white horses, wipes out all of the Antichrist armies, destroys them, feeds them to the fowls of the air. Amen? And then he sets up his kingdom. But look what it says right in the middle of chapter 19. Look at me here. Revelation 19, verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He will. And he shall rule them with a what?
Rod
of iron. Now, beloved, here's the good news in closing. The way that Messiah the king is going to rule the world with a rod of iron is through you and you and you and you. It's called delegated authority. He is going to rule with a rod of iron through his set up system of government for the 1,000 years. That includes all of us, beloved. I've got good news tonight. Your future is nothing but glorious.
I'm going to be a doorman.
You'll be a doorman. Hey, man.
I want to beat up the politician.
Better to be a doorman in the house of the Lord, amen, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I am so glad tonight, beloved, that we know from the Word of God that indeed our future is wonderful. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the millennial government of the kingdom. Lord, how I thank you that you will rule the world with a rod of iron, and you will do it through your system of government that you will set up over all the world. Lord, thank you that Israel redeemed will be there. Thank you that us church age saints will be there. Thank you that the Old Testament saints will be there. Thank you that the tribulation period saints will be there. But thank you most of all that Jesus will be there. Glory to God. We will rule with the King, our blessed, glorious bridegroom. We are the Queen. We are the body of Christ. We are His bride. Oh, thank you tonight, Lord, for the truth of your word and for your coming kingdom. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, beloved, in closing tonight. And let's stand for a final hymn. Oh, what a Savior. And let's open up our hymnals to 134 tonight. Hymn 134. Boy, oh boy, I can't wait. It's going to be good. And folks, I'll tell you one thing. We could get raptured out any time now. Because the next event on God's prophetic timetable is the rapture of the church. Oh, what a day that will be. Don't you just love Him tonight, church? Don't you just want to put a smile on His face? Amen? Especially with the glorious truths we're studying. Blessed assurance, we will sing the first and the second. Sing it like you mean. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Fanny Crosby.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine, heir of salvation.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord, church, tonight for a great day of services. We look forward to Wednesday night, Bible study / prayer meeting with the saints. I'm going to ask Brother Mike. So good to see Mike tonight. If you could dismiss us in prayer.
Well, we thank you this time again.
Yes, Father.
To you and your house, Lord, and to listen to your messages. And well, we thank you for the blessings you're giving us and for watching all of us. We pray that you'd just heed all our prayers, Lord, and just heal us and just give us joy as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord, beloved. Yes, sir. Hey, thanks, man.